پایگاه فرهنگی اطلاع رسانی راسخون.
Now we've looked at several techniques that ASP.NET provides to reduce the amount of code necessary in your page to actually present dynamic content. And data binding is going to be a big step in that direction. However, you still are going to end up having code in many of your pages, whether it's just for event handlers that you're doing processing on the server with, or some sort of user interface interaction with the client. And if you want to remove that code from the actual ASPX page and leave the ASPX page to be only markup, and then put the code in a completely separate file and in a separate class definition, this is where you can bring code behind into the picture. So this is a technique for separation of code and markup that ASP.NET has had in place since its inception. And there are two techniques. There are two implementations of it, shall we say. One is the original implementation, which is what came out with ASP.NET 1 and 1.1. And the other one is the 2.0 version, which is a slight different variation on it, which uses the partial class mechanism. So what I'd like to do is start by showing you the 1.1 version of CodeBehind, which, as you'll see, is very similar to the 2.0 version. But even though you may not use this style of CodeBehind directly, there's a good chance you'll encounter it in your ASP.NET development. So it's good to be aware of how it works and what the various attributes mean. And then we'll go ahead and take a look at the 2.0 version and see how that differs and how to use both. So what I thought I would do to show you CodeBehind is go back to our samples here and go to the original page that we were working on, the hello.aspx page. And I'm going to just create a copy of that page, and let's call it hello CB for CodeBehind. And I'm going to also create an associated CodeBehind file. And I'm going to use the naming convention that is very standard in ASP.NET to call the CodeBehind file the same thing as the page, but with a source code extension, so .cs for C# in this case. Okay, so let's go open these two files up now. Again, just using Notepad to keep things really simple here. We'll come back and use Visual Studio in a little bit. And here's the CodeBehind file. Now I'm going to bring in a couple of namespaces into the CodeBehind file. And what I want to do is take all of this code that was in our ASPX file and cut it out and place it in the CodeBehind. That's really the motivation here, right? You want to have a completely separate file that contains all of your code definition, your code for the page. And now we're left with just this page here. Of course, you can't just leave it in the file like this because that's not going to compile. So we encapsulate this in a class definition. I'm going to start by putting it in a namespace, and then we'll define a class that surrounds it. So for the class, let's do this: public class hello CB base maybe. And what we're going to do is derive from the page base class. So the relationship between this class and the class that is going to be generated by ASP.NET is that we're going to be the base class for the generated class created from this file. Okay? So here's our class definition. Now that's almost ready to go. The one thing we're going to have trouble with at this point is our reference to the display list. Because this is a member variable that was implicitly added to this class definition when it was automatically parsed and compiled by ASP.NET. But we're not going to have access to it here because we're serving as the base class. So the technique in version 1 of ASP.NET to resolve these server-side variable references, this guy right here, is to go into your class definition and add protected member variable declarations of the appropriate type. So this is a bulleted list control, and there's the name. And when this file is now compiled over here, it will notice that the base class already has a protected member variable declaration whose identifier is equal to or is identical to the identifier for this server-side control. And as long as these types match, the bulleted list matches this type here, It will happily use the protected member variable declaration that we defined in the base class, and that will associate it with this guy, and now this will resolve properly to this particular control. Okay, so that's a code behind class ready to go. Now to wire it up, to actually get it compiled and wired up to this class, we need to go to our ASPX file and tell it which class it's going to inherit from by using the inherits keyword in the page directive. And I'm going to say ps.hello cb base, I believe is what I called it. CB base, yeah. Okay, so there's the base class. And if I wanted to, I could simply compile this file and put it in an assembly in the bin directory if I preferred. Or I could put it in the appcode directory. Or the other option in the 1.1 model is to use this source attribute. And the source attribute lets you specify an additional file that you would like to be compiled when this page is requested. Okay, so there we go. There's my ASPX page, here's my code behind, and now I've successfully extracted all of the code into a separate class definition from which this page is now going to inherit. And that's the code behind model in version 1.1, which still works in 2.2, so you may run across it. Localhost, and we're going to do hello cb.aspx. And getting a compilation error, which we'll try to resolve here real quick. So items, this item count, oh, this guy is missing now. Item count is missing. And the problem is, this is actually an interesting problem, the item count is now a private variable, implicitly private, inside of my base class definition. And because we're dealing with inheritance, we need to make this, at the very least, protected, so it is accessible to this page when it derives from this base class. So let's change that and go ahead and try refreshing the page again. There we go. So everything works as before, but now our page is devoid of code. And of course, we could get rid of these final last pieces if we spent the effort. And I have this completely separate class definition sitting here that is acting as the base class for this page. So this is a very common way to put pages together in ASP.NET to create a code behind class that is going to act as the base class for the other page. And now we'll take a look at the version 2 implementation of code behind.